So this whole pandemic has brought out a lot of challenges for many different people on many different levels. But I believe with this whole pandemic too, it has revealed a lot of the underlying issues that many people are going through. And in recent times as a priest, I had to deal with a lot of cases where our elderly population who have been isolated at home or who are in the hospital right now, and they just feel lonely, worthless, helpless, don't know what to do. And as a matter of fact, one of my old students whom I used to taught about 11, 13 years, no more than that, 13, 14 years ago, who is now an ICU nurse, and he called me yesterday before confession, almost breaking down. Father, I don't think I can do it anymore. I can't help the people who are dying. What do I do when I see them on the ventilator and they're suffering and I know that they're dying? What can I do? I feel like in order to protect myself, I have to be numb, or else I just don't have anything else to give. You know, it's hard. It's heartbreaking. And it's hard to hear those. But we also, so I basically told him, thank you for being there for those who are dying on their last hours, for taking care of them, for treating them like a human being. But this to show us that our life is not perfect and we're not in control, even though we like to think that we're in control. And in the midst of being helpless, oftentimes our current day and age think that because we're helpless, therefore we should live life as if we are hopeless. And here is the danger. The danger that I work with the current young generation is that our society, age, and time right now are filled with a lot of despair and hopelessness. Within our own young people, I've seen that they don't even know what it means to live, because they don't know who they are. They feel like, I can only be worthy if I can stand out from among everyone else, if I'm good at something, if I'm talented, if I'm paving the way, if I make progress. And yet all of their self-worth are based on achievements by this world. And when those are no longer there, they felt like life is not worth living. And as a matter of fact, within this week alone, I received 2 different phone calls from Red River. Breaks my heart. And it to show that our young people really don't know their self-worth because they don't know their self-identity, what it meant to be loved, and what it's being meant to be loved by God. My brothers and sisters, it's disturbing. And I want you to know that, because it's our duty as parents, grandparents, and at the church to fill our young people with hope and with real hope. What is this hope? The gospel teaches us that this hope is based on Jesus Christ who have come and died for us, and that we are beloved by God. Our sense of belovedness, that we are being seen, being heard, not because we can do something, is so important. Our sense of knowing that we are loved by God and that's good enough, give us firm hope in the promise and the love of Christ Jesus. Or else, we will chase after false happiness, but never feel fulfilled, because we will always be empty. And of course, even in our constitution itself, our government was meant to be created to ensure life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. But the problem is that at this moment, of day and age, this pursuit of happiness, it being defined as something that makes me feel happy right now, is sentimentally and emotionally based. But this vain happiness come and go, and it leave our young people empty, hating themselves, hating life, have nothing to look forward to, and therefore life become cheap because I have objectified myself and objectified others only based on whether I'm good or if they're good for something. We become vain, we become empty, we become hopeless because we don't know who we are and we're lost. And in this midst of hopelessness, it creates a society that is anti-life. We talk much about being pro-life, but our own young people and many people who are living around us are not open to life. I'm not talking about contraceptive and sexual means alone, but people are not open to life because they don't know what it means to live. And if they're not receiving life from their own family, then how can they give life at large? And it really saddened me hearing from teachers, from staff and the administration of the ISDs, from Burke, from Iowa Park, and Electra, from our own three parish, that many of our young children are coming back to broken homes. Homes where they don't even know what to call the other partner of their parents. Home where it's being filled with violence, being filled with hatred, being feel like, I don't belong here. I don't know why I'm here. I want to run away. I want to end my life. There's life is no longer worth living. Then how can we be pro-life when our children don't even receive life at home? How can we teach our children that that the dignity of life come from the moment of conception until natural death when they don't even know how to live as children of God? The problem with us is that not because of politics, because we have failed as a society to help nurture home. We have failed to nurture life. Therefore, we cannot truly be pro-life until each and everyone feels and knows and understands that life is worth living. Even though it might be imperfect. So we have the duty at the church, as neighbor, as a community, as a society, and as friends, to create a home within our own community here, within our own family. And that begins with each and every one of us having the desire to come home. Do you and I feel happy to come home? Or are we coming back to a house? Do we feel joyful and being and living and fulfilled with the love of God coming here, our home? Or are we feeling burdensome? Until we know where home is, we will always be homeless. We will always be hopeless. And we will always be close to life because we don't know what it's meant to live. In the collect and throughout all the prayers of the Mass today, especially the communion antiphon, remind us that our happiness is to be close to God. God is our home. The place where we belong, where we are loved, where we are respected, where we are heard. In the midst that everything that's going on right now. I want you to be the testaments of God's love within your own home. Jesus said today very clearly that those who are faithful in small matters will be given great responsibilities. Don't change anybody else. Don't try to change the world through politics, through an agenda, through ideology, through revolution. Change begins with me. Make sure that the greatest journey, the greatest initiative begins with me, desiring to change my life for God. That I use the talents that He had given me here and now for other people. And those talents are not just for me to glorify myself. Those talents is to build up the church, to build up my neighbor, to build up the community at large, and to bring people home. In the book of Proverbs today, especially for many of you who are married, do you recognize in your spouse that you're coming back home? And do you recognize in your spouse that just like the book of Proverbs said, that the greatest beauty of a woman is not of the vain beauty and glory that will come and go, but full of virtues? My brothers and sisters, life is hard, and it will always make us hopeless. And the only way that we can change this trajectory is to instill hope within our own home. The church will fail if you fail to make your own domestic church, your family, into the dwelling place of God. Society will fail when the family fails to live according to the life of virtues and what God calls them to be. So don't be angry when our society is not pro-life. Because we've never been open to life, because we never respected life, because we never embraced life. So how do we raise up a new pro-life generation? Not by politics, but by dignifying and giving life at home. And as your spiritual father in the faith, as your parish priest too, those who are here and those who are joining us via live stream, I want to affirm to you too, each and every one of you, that you are seen, that you are loved, that you will always have a home here. And it's important that you and I know that we're not only worthy because we can do something. We're worthy because God has loved us. This dignity, this respect, this sense of vocation do not come from anyone else except from God. I am seen by God. I am known by Him. I am loved by Him, and I am sent forth by Him. My talents, my life, my everything, my dignity, my self-worth, everything I have comes from Him, because He is the foundation of our hope.